Hope that you have your Bible with you. And if you don't, I hope that you'll bring it next time. Amen. And if you do, turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter, the first chapter, we have been discovering that the Apostle Peter is calling believers to a life of holiness. And we find that he issues the command to be holy, both in our mindset and in our lifestyle, as you read there in verses 13 through 15. And then he begins giving us some reasons why we as God's people should be a people set apart, that is separated from that which is secular and sinful, and set apart exclusively to the Savior. Now, we've discovered some of those reasons are indeed because of the holiness of God. Since God is holy, His people ought to be holy. And we've discovered it's also because of the Word of God. That is, it's written. The Bible commands us, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." We've discovered that we ought to be holy because of the judgment of God, knowing that one of these days we're going to stand before Him who, without respect of persons, is going to judge us. And then we discovered also that you and I should be holy because of the redemption of God. That is, the very nature of our relationship to God as His redeemed, that within itself reveals to us why it is that we ought to be holy. And we've discovered, as we've been looking at this idea of redemption there in verses 18 through 21, we have discovered that indeed God has done a work in us that is described with the word redemption, the idea that a price has been paid for the purpose of bringing us out or delivering us from that which is sinful and setting us apart to the Savior as His own special children. As a matter of fact, in chapter number 2, he even describes us in verse number 10 as the people of God, who were not at one time the people of God, but now we are the people of God. Those who were enemies of God and estranged from God, now God has chosen us and called us to Himself, and He's brought us out of our bondage and out of our sin, and He's made us His own special people. That's the nature of redemption. And we've been trying to discover what it is that Peter writes here about redemption, because those who are redeemed, who've been brought out of their sinful past, should never go back to it. Remember now, those who have been brought out should never go back. Just like the Israelites brought out of Egypt never went back, even so it is with God's people. And that idea of never going back but remaining separated from that which characterized our life before our conversion is exactly what the idea of holiness is. Those who are separated to the Savior, and the reason why we should be is because of what God did whenever He redeemed us, when He brought us out and made us His own special people. And we find that we've been trying to explore a little bit more about what Peter writes in these great verses. If you're reading through the book of 1 Peter, there are some passages that really stand out. And these verses about the redemption that we have in Christ really stand out to us. And we learn a lot about our redemption. And that is what it is that it means to be redeemed. And we've discovered indeed that there was a price that was required in order for us to be redeemed. And we began to look at that, and we discovered that the price that was paid for you and I to be redeemed indeed was not the price of currency, but it was the price that Christ paid when He died on the cross. It was not by silver and gold that we were redeemed, but it took the precious blood of Christ as He hung on that old rugged cross and died there for us. There's the price that redemption required. We looked at the past that redemption leaves. By its very nature, I said to you that those who are redeemed are delivered from something, and what we've been delivered from, according to the Word of God, is indeed our vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers in verse number 18. The idea is you and I have been delivered from an empty way of life, a vain way of living that is trying to live life without God, without Christ in our lives, an empty life, and it's been handed down to us and molded by the culture around us. God brought us out of that. That's the past that you and I, indeed, the redemption has brought us out of. And then we also discovered indeed the plan that redemption fulfills. We discovered that our redemption in Christ was planned by God before the creation of the world. And that plan that God planned before the world was ever created, He fulfilled in Christ when the time came at the fullness of time. In the fullness of time, Paul wrote to the Galatians, in the fullness of time, God sent His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons in Galatians 4. The idea is that there came a point in time when the Savior came. He was manifested, the Bible says, and came into this world, was revealed in human flesh, in a human body, became real man, real human flesh. And the Bible says that God raised Him from the dead and glorified Him. And we looked at all of those ideas of the manifestation of Christ, and we looked at the resurrection of Christ, and we looked at the glorification of Christ this past Wednesday night. And so in the service this morning, just to bring you up to date, we began looking at the people that redemption affects. And that is, we discover that indeed in the service this morning, that the redemption that God planned from the foundation of the world, and that Christ fulfilled by His precious blood shed on Calvary's cross, that it is effective for a certain group of people. And Peter describes them in the last part of verse 20 into the first part of verse 21 as you who by Him do believe in God. That is, those who are the redeemed are those, the Bible says, who have believed. You all know this already, and I tried to help us understand it this morning. Not everyone is redeemed by the blood of Christ. Not everyone is, but the Bible says it is only those who believe. Who believe in God by Him, the Bible tells us here in this passage of Scripture. And that's what we began focusing on in the service this morning. And we began approaching it, this idea of believing, from several different angles. First of all, in the service this morning, I talked to you about the must of believing. I said to you that the only way that a person can be redeemed by the blood of Christ, the only way it's possible is through faith or by believing. The Bible teaches us the avenue by which you and I can receive as a free gift and by grace what Christ accomplished when He died on the cross is indeed through faith or by believing. That's the avenue through which we can experience this redemption. And Peter's teaching us that in this passage of Scripture. The reason why Peter is teaching us that is because that was the message of the Scriptures. Even the Old Testament taught that it's by faith that a person can be in a right relationship with God. That was the message of the Savior over and over again. Jesus taught that the way to have everlasting life, to have eternal life, to be in a right relationship with God was by believing. We find that that was the message of the saints, whether you're talking about Philip, the deacon of the New Testament in the area of Samaria, whether you're talking about Peter when he took the gospel to the household of Cornelius, or Paul as he went to the uttermost parts of the earth. They had a consistent message, and their message was to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to be saved, have eternal life, be redeemed, be in a right standing with God, then you must believe. And I talked to you about the fact that that implies the exclusivity of the gospel, and that is that all of those who do not believe are excluded from redemption. And that is that there's only one way. The gospel is exclusive, and that means that indeed only those who believe are in a right relationship with God, and only those who believe are the ones who are redeemed, and those who do not believe are not redeemed. They do not belong to the Lord. But also talked about the inclusivity of the gospel at the conclusion of the service, and I said to you the fact that those who can be right with God are those who believe, and that that is the only way to be made right with God. That includes everyone. That means it makes no difference what your background is, what your nationality is, or what your race is. Whosoever, the Bible says, whoever believes on Him can have everlasting life. Whoever calls on Him can have everlasting life. And the important things about those verses is the whosoever, and that is that the gospel is inclusive to everyone who will believe, because that's the only thing that is required to have eternal life. It is to believe. And so we discovered the must of believing. But I'm going to take a little bit of time this evening to explain to you what I would simply refer to as the meaning of believing. That is, when the Apostle Peter refers here to these redeemed saints as those who believe, what is it exactly that he means? When we find the Lord Jesus talks about believing, what is he talking about? Whenever the Apostle Paul told that Philippian jailer to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What is it exactly that the Bible means when it talks about believing or saving faith? And I believe that this is very important for us to consider, because there are many who have the idea that believing is mere acknowledgement of the facts about God or about Christ. That is, that all the believing is merely acknowledging that God is. That all the believing is just merely acknowledging the facts that are recorded in the Bible about Jesus. That is, if you merely acknowledge the facts that are revealed about Christ, that indeed that is what believing is. And there are many who teach that. There are many in our area who teach that. That is, there are many in our culture, churches and preachers and Bible teachers who teach that all you have to do is simply believe that Jesus is, that God is, and be baptized, and you will have eternal life. And there's much teaching like that. But the Bible reveals to us, ladies and gentlemen, that believing is more than just acknowledging the facts about Christ, but it is actually receiving the life of Christ. Now, I want you to remember this. In the Bible, believing is receiving. If you haven't received, then you have not believed. Believing is receiving. I like John 1 and verse number 12. Listen to what the Bible tells us. In John 1 and verse number 12, the Word of God reveals to us this very idea. It says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. So who are those that are the sons of God? Those who have received Him. And then the little phrase is, even to those who believe on His name. And that means that receiving and believing are the very same thing. These are parallel phrases, and they mean the same. Believing is receiving, and receiving is believing. What I'm trying to get you to see is this, is that what it means to believe, that is what it means to believe in the sense of receiving Christ, believing is receiving. If you haven't received, you have not believe. Now, I've used this illustration before, but I'll use it again just for the sake of clarification. And that is that really, when it comes to food and medicine, it really doesn't do you any good to have food and medicine at your house if you don't receive it. Amen? And that's sort of the way it is at my house. And that is, we have a food at our house, and my wife is a very good cook, and I can bear testimony to that. You can just look at me and tell. And she can go into the kitchen, and she did. And she, when I got home this afternoon after being here at the church, there was the crock pots all ready to go, and there was the food ready to go, and it was all cooked. And I could have walked into that house and I could have said, you know what, I believe that food will taste good. And I could acknowledge the fact that there's food there in the crock pot, and it looks good, it smells good. And listen, as a matter of fact, that crock pot was cooking all night long. When I got up this morning, it smelled good in the house. Almost had breakfast before I had lunch. Amen. Yeah. And I could believe, I could acknowledge that food, and I could acknowledge that if I would eat that food, it would satisfy what is on the inside of me. But I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, those who really believe receive. It's not until I receive that food into my body that I have done what the Bible calls, when it calls, believing. It's the same way with medicine, isn't it? And that is, you could have some kind of a physical problem and go to the doctor, and the doctors write you out a prescription, and you could take it to the pharmacist, and that pharmacist gives you one of those little pill bottles with pills in it, and you could look at those pills, and you can say, that's exactly what I need. And if I take that medicine, I'm going to get to feeling better, and everything's going to get better if I take that medicine. I believe. Amen. I believe that medicine is exactly what it says it is. But listen to me now. It's not until you put that pill in your mouth and swallow it and receive it on the inside of you. It's not until then, ladies and gentlemen, that you have actually received. I like what the Lord said in John chapter number 6 one day whenever He was talking to the Jewish people who He had fed the day before. And they came to Him and they said to Him, we would like to eat again. We would like to have some breakfast. They followed Him all the way around the Sea of Galilee, seeking Him out the next morning. And Jesus, as He began to speak to them, instead of giving them a meal, He gave them a message. It's the message about the bread of life. And one of the things that He told them in that message horrified them, so much so that indeed they were ready to string Him up. They were ready to take His life. Ladies and gentlemen, here's what He said to them. He said, listen, unless you eat My flesh and drink My blood, you cannot have eternal life. Now, I'm going to tell you, for a Jew to drink blood is just that's outside of the boundaries. But of course, Jesus wasn't speaking literally. He was talking about what it means to believe on Him. He had just got done telling them in His sermon on the bread of life, he that cometh to Me indeed will never hunger, and he that believeth on Me will never thirst. And He's trying to explain to them what it means to believe or to come to Him. And He says it's like eating and drinking. He said, I'm going to shed My blood on that old rugged cross, but you have got to receive what it is that I do. You've got to receive Me and what it is that I'm going to do for you. He's explaining to you and I what it means to believe. Believing, ladies and gentlemen, believing is receiving. If you've never received Him, then you've never believed on Him. Believing is indeed receiving, and we find that indeed that's important for us to keep in mind. Now, I want to just use a couple of words that are found in the Bible to define what it means and to describe what it means to believe. There are many words that we could use. And that is, for example, the Bible tells us, the Bible uses words like coming and calling to describe what it means to believe. That is, Jesus would say something like this in John chapter number 6. I quoted it to you for a moment ago. And that is, Jesus said that I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to Me shall never hunger. He that believeth on Me shall never thirst. And those two phrases that are used are parallel, which means that they're talking about or mean the same thing. That is, believing on Him means coming to Him. If you were to go to Romans chapter number 10, Paul uses the word calling. It is in Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 13, that well-known verse where the Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But did you know that the Bible says there, how are they going to call on him in whom they have not believed in the very next verse? In other words, here's what that means. That means it's not the merely repetition of words, that is just the speaking of words that saves anybody. It is the believing in the heart. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. If it was the mere speaking of the words, then those indeed who are mute, those who cannot speak, would have no way of being saved. But we know they can be saved because it's not what we say with our mouth. It is believing on the Lord Jesus with our heart that is the key to redemption. Amen. And listen, when the Bible says you need to come to Him, that doesn't mean you literally have to walk to the Lord. That's not what it means, because if that was the case, then those who are paralyzed would not be able to be saved. It is when the Bible says come to Him, it's using a word that describes to us what it means to believe. To believe to Him, upon Him, it means to come to Him and to surrender to Him is the idea of coming to Christ. So the words coming and the word calling are two words that describe to us what it means to believe. Ladies and gentlemen, the issue when it comes to salvation is whether or not a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not whether they say certain words. It's not whether or not they come in a certain way. It's not, listen, you and I should not take those things so literally that we miss out on the heart of the issue, and it's whether or not a person believes. A person could come and they could call, but if they do not believe, they're still not saved. Those are words that describe to us what it means to believe. What it means to believe. Well, there are a couple of other words that I want to focus on. There's coming and there's calling that are words that are used to describe what it means to believe. But I want us to really look at, I believe the Lord wants us to look at two particular words that are used in the Bible to describe what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The first word is the word turn. It's the word turn. Did you know that believing means turning to Christ? Believing means turning to Christ. It is a word that is used to describe the conversion of the believers in Antioch. Notice what the Bible says in your Bible in Acts chapter number 11. Again, I hope you have your Bible with you, and if not, I hope that you'll bring it next time you come. In Acts chapter number 11, I want you to see this, how the Bible describes the conversion of the believers in Antioch. In Acts chapter number 11, the Bible says, beginning in verse number 19, it says, Now, they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spoke unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Now listen to this. Are you ready? Verse 21. I want you to see it. And the Bible says the hand of the Lord was with them as they're preaching Christ in Antioch. The hand of the Lord was with them. Now you know that there wasn't a literal hand that was there. He's speaking figuratively of the presence and power of God that was there whenever they preached. And then he says, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Do you see it right there? What does it mean to believe? Well, according to what we read right here in verse number 21, to believe is the same thing as turning to the Lord. That is, believing means turning to Christ. That's what it means to believe. This is also a word that is used by Paul and Barnabas in Lystra. Whenever they were in Lystra preaching the word, listen to what the Bible says in Acts chapter number 14. In Acts chapter number 14, notice with me what the Bible teaches us there. Beginning in verse number 8, the Bible talks there that there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet. He was crippled. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in verse 8 that he was crippled from his mother's womb. He had never, folks, he had never, ever walked. Now, how's this man going to get saved? How's he going to come to Jesus if he can't walk? Amen? You say, well, I don't know. How's it going to happen? Well, you'll find out. Listen, this guy, the Bible says, the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. Can you imagine that? The guy stands up and he begins to leap, he begins to walk, he's immediately and miraculously healed. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices saying in the speech of the Lyconia, The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. They call Barnabas Jupiter, Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. And then the Bible says the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. That is, they're going to sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas. These folks are really messed up, aren't they? And the Bible says when the apostles in verse 14, Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they rent their clothes, they tore their clothes, ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do you do these things? We are also men of like passions with you and preach unto you." Now listen to this. And what were they preaching? "Preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein." You know what they were preaching? What was their message? That is, that they need to turn from their empty lifestyle, from their vain gods, and turn to the Lord. You say, "Well, I thought you were supposed to preach believing." They are. That's what it means to believe. Listen, believing means turning to Christ. This is also a word that was used by Paul when he shared his testimony with King Agrippa. Notice Paul sharing his testimony in Acts chapter number 26. Acts chapter number 26, and beginning in verse number 13, the Bible says this, "At midday, O king," talking about Paul speaking to King Agrippa, "I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them that which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks.' And I said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose." Now listen to this. "To make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee." Now listen to this. "Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee." Said, "I'm sending you to the Gentiles for this reason." Verse 18. "To open their eyes," and listen now, "and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." Here's what he said. That the Lord Jesus said that he sent Paul to the Gentiles to turn them. The word "turn" is used there in the sense of describing what it means to believe. It's also a word that was used by Paul to describe the conversion of the Thessalonians. When Paul was writing to the Thessalonians in the book of 1 Thessalonians in chapter number 1, he was describing what it was like when he first came to the city of Thessalonica, and these folks got saved when they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's how he describes their conversion experience in verse number 9. "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." Do you see the word that's used there in chapter 1 and verse 9? The Bible says that when Paul came, that indeed he preached the gospel to them and that showed them how that they need to turn from their idols and turn to God. Here's what I'm trying to get you to see. I'm trying to get you to see what it means biblically to believe. It makes no difference what man thinks it means to believe. It makes no difference what somebody on television says that it means to believe, or what somebody else has told you what it means to believe, or what a popular preacher might say that it means to believe. What matters is what the Bible says that it means to believe. And the Bible says that believing means turning to Christ. Now this turning that is revealed in the Bible is that word which describes what it means to believe. Those who believe are those who have abandoned sinful self and turned to Christ. Who've turned to Him. The idea is that they've abandoned sinful self, they've turned away from sin, and they've turned to Christ with complete surrender. I want to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, in the Bible, turning to Christ implies an abandonment of everything for Him. I want to say that again. In the Bible, turning to Christ implies an abandonment of everything for Christ. Did you know that that's what Peter experienced? Well, the Bible tells us in Luke's gospel that indeed the apostle Peter abandoned everything for Christ. Listen to what the Bible says in Luke chapter number 5, after having that great catch of fish, and the Bible says that Peter bowed before the Lord and cried out to him, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." And in verse number 10 of Luke chapter 5, so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, that is Peter, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. You say, what did they do? They turned to the Lord. The picture of those who turn to the Lord in the New Testament is the idea of abandoning everything for Christ. Peter even says that in Luke 18, verses 18 through 30. That is, it's in those verses that he said, we've abandoned everything for you. And indeed they have. They've forsaken everything for Christ. Levi experienced this as well. Matthew, in Luke chapter number 5, verse 27, the Bible says, and after these things, he, Jesus, went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said, follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. The idea is of complete abandonment for Christ. That's what Zacchaeus did. Remember Zacchaeus, that short little man, my favorite Bible character, climbed up in the sycamore tree, the Lord he wanted to see. Amen. The Bible tells us when Jesus passed by, he stopped, he noticed him, and he told him to come down because he was coming to his house today. And listen, he went to his house, announced to him the salvation had come to his house. And I tell you, Zacchaeus forsook everything for Jesus. The Bible says that he returned everything that he had stolen fourfold. He bankrupted himself and became a follower of Jesus. He forsook everything to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that's what a thief on the cross experienced? While that thief hanging by Jesus, right there beside of him in Luke 23, the Bible says, and hanging there by his side, somehow there was a turning in his heart that took place as he hung there on the cross. Something changed on the inside of him. There was a turning that took place on the inside, so much so that apparently he came to that point of believing that Jesus really is the Christ. He really is the King. That is, he really is the promised one that was promised from the Old Testament, because he said to him, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. And Jesus said, right now, today, you'll be with me in paradise. What I'm trying to get you to see, what does it mean to turn to the Lord? Bible says believing means turning to Christ. Turning to Christ is the idea. The picture in the New Testament is the picture of those who abandon everything for Christ. They abandon everything for Christ. That's the picture. So what does it mean to believe? It means abandoning everything for Christ. It means turning, complete turning from that which is sinful and turning to Christ. Abandoning all, surrendering completely to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Listen, believing is not just adding to your life something else. You know, a lot of people do that with insurance, don't we? And that is a just in case. You know, somewhere along the line I might get cancer, I need a cancer policy. And just in case I might get something else, I need this policy. And in case I wreck my car, I need that policy and need this policy. And we just keep adding insurance policies just in case. A lot of folks look at salvation that way. And that is just in case that all this Bible stuff is true, that I'm going to add salvation to my life. I'm going to live my life the way I want to. I'm going to go where I want to go and do what I want to do and live out my life. It's my life. But just in case that all of this is right, I better walk that aisle and pray that prayer, make that profession of faith. And I want to say to you, that is not biblical salvation. That's not what it means to believe. Those who believe are those who are brought to a point in their life of turning. If you've never turned, you've never believed. I want to say that again. If you've never turned to Christ, you have never believed. Those who have turned to Him are those who've been brought to a point in their life of abandoning everything for Christ. They came to Him, they come to Christ, and their hearts, the preparation of the heart is such that they're turning loose of everything and surrendering fully to Christ as Lord of their life. Now, this kind of turning that I'm talking about requires a work of God in the inner man to bring us to this point. Listen, this takes a work of the Spirit through the Word to bring an individual to the point that we will abandon sinful self completely and turn to Christ to surrender fully to Him. God has to do that work on the inside of us, and that work that He does on the inside of us, I often refer to as the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convincing us of sin. The Holy Spirit convincing us of righteousness. The Holy Spirit convincing us of judgment. John chapter number 16. Verses 8 through 11. That's what he does. And when he brings you to that point of abandoning sinful self and surrendering to Christ fully, indeed, that is what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm trying to help us understand what it means to believe. And what we've discovered, indeed, that according to the Bible, believing means turning to Christ. That is the idea of abandoning everything for Christ. There are many folks in the Bible that are examples of those who refused to turn to Christ. One of them was the rich young ruler. You remember his story and how that he came to Jesus wanting to know how to have eternal life. And Jesus began to speak to him about some of the commandments that he claimed that he kept from his youth up. And then Jesus told him to go and sell everything that he had and come and follow him. Does not sound like a modern soul winning technique. I don't know of anybody here who probably has dealt with anybody quite like that. But Jesus did, and here's the reason why. The only way to come to Christ is to abandon everything for Him. And until God brings a person to the point, and unless they're willing to abandon everything for Christ, they've not yet turned to Him. And therefore, they've not yet believed on Him. Believing means turning to Christ. That man turned away from Christ that day. The Bible says he went away sorrowful because he had great riches. He would not abandon everything for Christ. Listen to me now. That's what it means to turn, and that's what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing means turning to Christ. Now, there's a second word that I wanted to mention to you tonight, and that is that believing not only means turning to Christ, but it also implies and means trusting in Christ. The second key word is the word trust. It's a word that is used throughout the Word of God. We find that the Psalms and the Proverbs are full of the word trust, to trust in the Lord. It's a word that Paul used to describe what happened when the people at Ephesus believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what it says in Ephesians chapter number 1 and verses 12 and 13. Paul writes to them and he says that we should be to the praise of His glory. Now listen, who first trusted in Christ. In verse 13, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed. Now notice, trusted and believed are used interchangeably here to speak of the same thing. First of all, he says that you trusted after you heard. And then he says, then in whom also you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So what does it mean to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? When Peter writes about believing, he's writing about those who not only turn to Christ, but who are trusting in Christ. Now the idea of trusting is that of completely relying upon and depending upon someone or something. To completely rely and depend on something or someone or something. Now listen, when it comes to redemption, we're talking about completely relying upon and depending upon the finished work of Christ on the cross and His resurrection. I need to repeat that for you. When it comes to redemption, those who believe are those who are brought to the point of completely relying upon and completely depending upon His finished work on the cross and His resurrection. They're brought to the point of depending upon Christ, listen, and nothing else. I've got to say that again. Those who are brought to the point of believing are those who are brought to the point of turning to Christ, abandoning everything for Christ and trusting in Him and what He did alone and nothing else. Now this is where many professing Christians in our culture, I believe, have been deceived. That is because they have never trusted in Christ. Did you know that there are many people who are trusting in their church membership? Did you know that there are many who are trusting in the fact that one day they were baptized by their pastor? Did you know that there are many who are trusting the fact that they are trying to live a decent life, at least better than a few other people, that they're trusting in that as being evidence to the fact that they are indeed believers and are God's children? There are many who are trusting the fact that they walk down the aisle. Listen, I talk to many people who tell me that indeed I know that I must be saved because I walk the aisle. They have no idea what it means to be lost, have no idea what it means to be broken before God, repented before God, but they walked down the aisle. There are many who are trusting in the fact that they prayed certain words. Somebody gave them words to pray and they said, well, I prayed that prayer, so I must be saved. There are those who are trusting in some kind of a feeling that they had. Maybe they were in church service and Jason started playing the piano and Brother Greg started singing and they got some kind of a fluttery feeling on the inside, and therefore they know indeed that they have eternal life because of a feeling that they have. But have never been brought to the point of relying completely on the finished work of Christ on the cross and His resurrection the third day. I'm trying to get you to understand that when the Holy Spirit brings a sinner to the point of believing, He brings that person to the point of resting or relying completely upon the work of God in Christ and not on anything that they do, not on anything that they have done, not on anything that they felt, but completely resting in the finished work of Christ when He died on that cross. I need to make a strong statement to you, and that is if you've never trusted in Christ alone for redemption, then you have never believed. You've never believed. That's what it means biblically to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's when God brings you to that point that you stop trying to do anything for yourself and you completely trust in and rely on or rest in. The word I like to use, the picture I like to use when I got saved is when my heart finally was able to rest in what Jesus did on the cross. I remember being so broken before God. Folks, I was as lost as anybody could be. You say, Pastor, you must have been a bad person. Well, I didn't do anything really outwardly bad because I had a mom and a dad who kept me in line. Amen? But oh, I was just as sinful and filthy on the inside as anybody could be, as a sinner could be. And I tell you, when God brought me to that point of brokenness before Him, I was broken. I remember going to the altar that Sunday morning, and I remember getting in the altar and crying out to God. I didn't care who heard me. And I was crying out and crying out and crying out to God. I was so broken before God. But I tell you that my heart, broken before God, repentant before God, did not rest. It did not rest until my pastor showed me some verses from the Bible, reminded me of the great gospel truth, and that is that Jesus died for me on the cross. That He shed His blood for me, was resurrected the third day. And I don't know how the Holy Spirit does this, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm so glad He did. Somehow, as He was sharing those verses and I began to cry out to God again, somehow my heart was able to rest in what is revealed about Jesus when He died on the cross and was raised the third day. I found no peace, I found no redemption, I found no salvation until finally my soul rested in His finished work. Not in what I prayed, not in what my pastor said, but in what God had revealed about Jesus and His death on the cross. Let me say to you again, if you've never been brought to the point of trusting in Christ, believing or relying on Him and what He did on the cross and His resurrection the third day, then you have never believed. Believing means this. It means turning to Christ, abandoning everything for Christ. Believing means trusting in Christ. It means relying and depending on Him. His finished work, His resurrection the third day, as the only means of salvation, of your redemption. A lot of people stop short of that. And one of the reasons why they do is because of the way people deal with them, the way people talk to them, the way they're counseled a lot of times whenever they're realizing their need for the Lord and they're counseled in a bad way. And people get them to rely on something other than Christ. God is trying to bring them to the point of complete brokenness before Him and complete reliance on Christ alone. And many times those who deal with them oftentimes counsel them in such a way that they encourage them to rely in something that they do, something that they say, something that they repeat, and not in Christ alone. And they fall short of really believing. What I'm trying to get you to see is what it means to believe. The meaning of believing. I've got one more point I need to share with you before I'm done. We're focusing on what it means here to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I've talked to you about the must of believing. Nobody's ever been saved apart from believing. I've talked to you about what it means to believe. It means to turn to Christ and it means to trust in Christ. But let me just speak to you for a moment about what I would simply call the manner of believing. I want you to notice back in our text now, there's something interesting here that I have to call your attention to before I finish tonight. In 1 Peter again, back in chapter number 1 and verse number 21, I want you to notice here what Peter writes about those who believe. You may have noticed that he writes about those who believe in God. Those who believe in God. He says, who by Him do believe in God. And it's a little phrase that I hear a lot of people that I witness to often use. And they say something like this, I believe in God. Y'all hear that once in a while? You're trying to talk to somebody about their relationship with the Lord, and many of them say, I believe in God. I believe in God. And we find here that that's the phrase that is used here as well. As a matter of fact, I talk to people who've never trusted in Christ, who've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, some who reject what the Bible reveals about Christ. They've never believed on Him, and indeed, but they'll still say that they believe in God. There are millions of people in our world today who reject Christ as Savior and Lord, as Creator God, but still claim to believe in God. And so I became very interested in what Peter writes here about the manner in which the redeemed actually believe in God. Notice what the Bible says here. Peter tells us here that it is by Him that the redeemed believe in God. Did you see the little phrase in verse 21? Who by Him, by Christ, do believe in God. Peter seems to be indicating here that the manner or the way in which the redeemed believe in God is through Him. That is, through the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And we'll make some statements to you. The only way that a person can believe in God is by turning to and trusting in Christ. We'll say that again. The only way that a person can believe in God is by turning to and trusting in Christ. There is no other way to believe in God except through the work of the Son. That means that those who do not turn to and trust in the Son, in Christ, they are not believers. They don't believe in God. They are unbelievers. Those who've never turned to Christ and never trusted in Him are unbelievers, period. And cannot biblically and rightfully claim to be believers in God. They don't believe in the God of the Bible. You say, well, they do believe in God, but not this God. Not this God revealed in the New Testament. But what they believe in is a God that maybe their church, their pastor, or their religion has taught them, which is not the biblical view of God. It's what we would call an idol. But their faith and believing in false teaching. But not in the God of the Bible. Peter makes it clear in verse 21 that those who believe in God believe in the God who raised His Son from the dead. Did you see it in verse 21? Who by Him do believe in God that raised Him up from the dead. Listen, those who reject the truth about the life and death and resurrection of Jesus do not believe in the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible has revealed Himself in the person of Jesus, whom He has raised from the dead. And those who reject the Son have also rejected the Father. You can't believe in God without trusting in the death and resurrection of Christ. It's impossible. The gospel message that Paul defined in 1 Corinthians 15, the gospel message is that Jesus died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was raised the third day. Paul says he was seen. That is, there are folks who saw Him, eyewitnesses of His resurrection. Those who will not believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and what the Bible reveals about Him do not believe in the God of the Bible. They are unbelievers. They are not believers in God. What we're learning, folks, from the Apostle Peter is you cannot believe in God except through the Son. So that those who do not believe in the Son, His virgin birth, sinless life, sacrificial death, victorious resurrection, glorious return, they do not believe in God. They don't believe in God. They may believe in an idol that men have set up in their own minds to try to pacify themselves and try to ease their conscience before God. But they do not believe in the God of the Bible. Jesus made some interesting statements throughout the Gospel of John, revealing His equality with the Father. Many of them are very interesting. As a matter of fact, I'll just read a couple of them to you before I close. John chapter 5 and verse number 23. Jesus said that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent Him. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent Him. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except by Me. Jesus said in John 15:23, He that hateth Me hateth My Father also. See, the way that we believe is by believing in the Son, by turning to Him and trusting in Him. Now, folks, I'm not talking about believing just whatever we want to about the Son, but what it is that the Spirit of God has revealed through the Word of God. Listen, the Son of God has been manifested according to verse number 20. He's been revealed. And that manifestation has been preserved for us and explained to us by the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures. That's what the Bible says in John 14:26. Jesus talked about the fact that he was going to send the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit comes, he will remind you of all the things that I have said to you. He said in John 15:26 and also in John 16:7-15, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will testify of me. Or in other words, he will reveal the Son. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit has done. The apostles preached the message that the Holy Spirit revealed about Christ. They preached the message of Christ revealed by the Spirit, and that message that was preached by the apostles is what the redeemed believe. They didn't believe just anything about the Son. They believed the gospel that was preached to them, right, even according to chapter 1. In the last verse of this chapter, we find that the apostle reveals that the Word of God lives forever, the Word that was preached to you. And the idea is this, is that they believed on what was revealed about Christ. And do you know that the apostles not only preached that message, but they penned that message as well? The message of Christ. What was revealed by the Spirit about Christ was not only preached, but it was penned. It was written down. And that message that was penned by the apostles is the foundation for real, true, saving faith today. That's the reason why in Romans chapter 10, the Bible tells us in verse number 13, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Remember that verse? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Here's what I'm trying to get you to see. Those who are redeemed are those who've heard the Word of God, turned to the Son of God, trusted in what is revealed about his life, death, and resurrection. They are the ones who are redeemed. And they are the only ones who are redeemed. As a matter of fact, they are the only ones who really believe in God. The only way you can believe in him is through the Son. And so for this reason, Peter would say, you know, this is the reason why you ought to be holy. This is the reason why you should separate yourself from everything sinful and everything secular. The reason why is because those who have believed what the Word says about Jesus, indeed have been set apart by him. God has pulled you out. He separated you from. And it is for that reason that you ought to continue to live a life of separation. God brought you out. You should never go back. Who's been brought out? Those who believed. Who believed in God through the Son. Turning to the Son. And trusting in his finished work. They are the ones who are real believers. Those who believed in God by him through the Son. Listen to me. You say, Pastor, well, I believe in God. You better make sure that you really do. Better make sure that you believe in the God of the Bible, the one who sent his Son, who finished the work of redemption for you on the cross, raised him the third day, that you've abandoned everything and turned to him and trusted in his finished work alone, not in anything else but his finished work for redemption. Let me ask you the question. Have you believed? Has God ever brought you to the point of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your word and your people and how you've worked in our lives. And thank you for the truth that is revealed here by the apostle. And Father, I pray that God, you'll move upon the hearts of those who've never really believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you would so operate and so move that realizing, Father, their condition, that they might be brought to a point of abandoning everything for Christ, of trusting in him alone, his finished work on the old rugged cross, his resurrection the third day. Would you do that work in the hearts of individuals? God, a work that only you can do to bring them to that point of being able to receive Christ. Lord, we pray for your leadership during this invitation. Father, I pray that your Spirit would operate, that you would move. I pray, Father, for those who are here that are already yours, you're redeemed, that you might teach us and grow us so that we'll learn more about what happened when you saved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all